You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and again, ladies and gentlemen, yes, I am your host. Welcome, dear kinswomen, dear kinsmen, from wherever you're listening, however you're listening, whatever mood you're in. Don't fear, ladies and gentlemen. Trust in the Father. No matter how hard the storm rages, keep your eyes on Him, just like Peter, out on walking on the water. As long as he kept the eyes on Him, no matter how much the storm would rage, he would be fine. It's when he paid too much attention to the storm that he fell into the water. We can understand how these things are. This is going to be a break, I believe, unless we have a minute to get to Fritz Springmeier's book. But the Father changed course today, and it's interesting. I've been looking into some of the Judeo-Christian ministers. You know the famous ones. Copeland is certainly the most vigorous and strange and animalistic one of all that I have come across. But there's another serpent that is, you know who it is, it's John Hagee. This is a deceiver that it's amazing. I just happened to see a link to a Hagee. This is the way the Father works, you know what I mean? I don't think I've seen a link to Hagee on YouTube than when I'm watching some videos or whatever. But I finally saw one and I said, well, let me just get a look at what this guy is teaching. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Wait till you get a load of this. This show is a show you will want to listen to several times. I'm telling you, wait till you get a load of this. Because it typifies the teachings that have been going on in the Judeo-Christian. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, and of course this is not for my regular listeners, that Judeo-Christianity is not the true version of Christianity. It is the Jewish, Judaized version of Christianity. The two don't belong together. They never did, never will. But the Jews wanted to take over control of the narrative of Christianity, and this was done by the Apostle Paul. They used the Apostle Paul to accomplish this and have purported a 2,000-year-old lie. And it's still intact. There are doctrines of devils in this sermon. But more importantly, I'm going to show you some techniques that this fellow uses. I'm going to tell you something up front about it, and that's this. I believe that a lot of these preachers in the pulpit, the biggest ones like John Hagee, work for the government. They certainly work for the Jews, but I do believe they work for the government too. This fellow is promoting war with Iran, promoting beefing up the military. This was done during Obama's administration. So when you hear him talking about the president, which I don't look at Obama as any kind of a president, but I look at him as a dirty Falasha Jew. And that's what he is. But it's interesting that the pulpit is used to brainwash the people, to indoctrinate the people, to instill within the people certain things. This is about the book of Revelation, so you'll be interested in this. And does Mr. Hagee lie about everything? Perhaps not. But one must understand, he is a cheerleader for the Jews, period, and the government. And you're going to see this. I'm going to have to stop the recording several times. Perhaps I'll try to put the whole sermon in the description of this video, this show. So I'll try to do that. But I'm going to have to stop it several times. I might have to rewind and so on and so forth. We're going to, I call this show The Eagle Picks Apart Hagee's Antichrist. I am the eagle, and I'm going to pick apart this sermon, and I'm going to show you some very, very interesting things. I didn't plan this. This just kind of happened this morning. And leave it to the Father. He knew the right sermon to send me. And Mr. Hagee does me a great favor in doing all the work for me. You see, he's going to tell you many things here, and you should pay attention. So not everything he says is going to be a lie, but I would say a good 80-something percent or 90% is just pure indoctrinational brainwash. Oh, boy, is it something. You get to it, Dave. Get to it. Don't tell me what you're going to do. You know, I noticed that on YouTube videos and stuff. People are going to do things and they say, oh, well, I'm going to do this. And I say, well, do it. So I'm suppose you're saying the same thing. Get to it. But I have to give you the preliminary ideas of what's going on here, so you'll see what I'm trying to say. I hope, it is my hope, that you will learn from this, that you will listen intently, that you will pay attention and not drift off somewhere else, because I'm telling you, this is very, very important, what I'm going to show you here. These people train to do what they do. It's amazing that Copeland, I've seen a video of him recently, and lately he's been preaching to nobody in the audience practically, or he might have four or five people there. He's a real practicer of his art, of his trade. And of course he said he's a Jew and a rich Jew. So he admitted that right away. But I'm going to show you some very, very interesting things. Now, this is interesting too, that this is Hagee's third message of this day. I don't know the exact date. It didn't say it on the video, but it's during Obama's administration, obviously during his second term, because he speaks about the second term of Obama within the message. He never mentions Obama's name, though. I just want you to understand it's not talking about Trump. He's talking about Obama. Now, just keep this in mind, how the pulpit is being used and how the people are being used within the pulpit. So I'm going to stop this many times, okay? So let's begin at the beginning. It's not the beginning of the message. I cut out the beginning and all that kind of stuff. I brought it to the point where I just captured the message, the crux of the whole message, to the end. And here it goes.
Revelation, the sixth chapter. John introduces the four horses of the apocalypse. There's a white horse carrying a rider who conquers the earth, greedily running roughshod over anyone standing in his way. He is a deceiver. He is a dictator. He is a living devil. The second horse is a fiery red horse of war, in which the Revelation says 1/4 of the earth's population will be slaughtered under this rider. The third horse is the black horse of famine, because I assure you, as certainly as my name is John Hagee, there is a global food shortage on the way. You will live to see the day, I believe, in America, where supermarkets have stripped their shelves bare, where civil rights are in the streets, riots are in the streets over food. The fourth horse is the gray horse of death. Listen closely. The Greek word for this horse is chloros, which means green. 55 years ago when I was going to seminary, here's how they explained that. In the Bible, it calls him a gray horse because death and gray go together. And they explained the word Greek, gray, chloros, as when something dies, it rots and turns green. I really never did settle in my mind. I've always believed that God knows what he's trying to say. And when he put the Greek word chloros in there, it was green. It's the same Greek word used in Mark 9 when it talks about green grass. The fact is that the CIA fact book states that green is the traditional color of Islam. Revelation 6 and 8 says, "And power was given unto him over a fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword." Understand that Islam right now controls one-fourth of the earth. They have 1.5 billion followers of the Islamic faith. A third of them consider themselves radical. That means there are 500 million people who have a message from God to kill you and to kill Jewish people. That's a fact. Even now, as we hear the thundering hoofbeats of the four horsemen of the apocalypse storming across the stage of human history, bringing deception and wars and hunger and death on a scale that the mind of man cannot fathom.
Human history. Very interesting that green is the color that the devil loves the most, as I've proven over and over again. The Emerald City, etc., etc. Isn't it interesting that he is talking about Islam, and we know that Muhammad was half Jewish? We see today the Saudi Jews saying that they should link up with Jewry to fight anti-Jewishism. We see that the Jews use and have always used the Muslims as a tool against mankind. Right? Mr. Hagee, very interesting here. He skipped one of the horses, I don't know why, but these people aren't as good as I thought they were. But, you know, they lose their selves in the message at some points. I believe that, hey, that's possible with anybody, but I notice it in both Copeland and him. So let's continue. So you see he's demonizing all Muslims here, of course, and which, you know, I understand that the Muslims are half-breeds anyway. I'm not trying to defend the Muslims. But in other words, he's constantly beating the wars drums against Islam, against Russia, against Iran, of course. Wait till you hear all the stuff about Iran. So let's continue.
The Bible makes it perfectly clear that God's judgment is coming to this nation. Acts 17:31 says, quote, "For he, God, has set a day certain when he will judge the earth with justice by the man Jesus he has appointed." Right now, corruption in America is running amok.
The man Jesus he appointed. Hagee's been studying the Bible since I don't know how many years. He states so himself. He doesn't know that the Father is Jesus in the flesh. Let's continue. The man Jesus. I find that very interesting.
We don't feel like that politicians can be brought to justice because the corruption is so fierce. I assure you, the day is going to come when God Almighty will judge this world and judge this nation, and every person in Washington, D.C. will answer for the corruption that they have allowed to prosper in the United States of America. Why? Because God never changes. God judged Noah's generation that mocked the message of salvation, that salvation being the ark. God drowned every human being on the planet because they rejected the message of redemption.
Mr. Hagee. If you knew about the scriptures, you would know that the term basin was where the flood occurred. It was not a worldwide flood. It might have rained worldwide, but he said every human on the planet. You see, that's a lie. See, that would tell you, that's the premise on how they come up with the idea that all races came out of Noah's loins. And this would negate the Adamic race, so to speak. In other words, Adam is how all man came about. You know, Noah is the continuation, right? And of course, one of Noah's sons had a Chinese, you know, and then the other one had, I mean, Noah's sons were supposed to be the three, and Japheth had Chinese or whatever, and Ham was black and all these different things. It's a bunch of nonsense. Now, Mr. Hagee doesn't know that it wasn't a worldwide flood, and he thinks that everyone died on the planet. Again, did you hear that? Let me just back it up a little.
And be brought to justice because the corruption is so fierce. I assure you, the day is going to come when God Almighty will judge this world and judge this nation, and every person in Washington, D.C. will answer for the corruption that they have allowed to prosper in the United States of America. Why? Because God never changes. God judged Noah's generation that mocked the message of salvation, that salvation being the ark. God drowned every human being on the planet because they rejected the message of redemption. He proved that he is the judge of all the earth.
He killed every human being on the planet because they rejected, they were all race mixed. You see how this is all glossed all over. It's very interesting to me. You know, in one breath, he talks about how God judges Noah's generation. But what does that have to do with the China and Chinese in China or the Cana? Or the Negroes in Africa or the people in South America? What does that have to do with any of them? If God is judging Noah's generation, why would he kill all those other people? See, none of it makes any sense, ladies and gentlemen. Those people were here before us, and there's records of these rains in China and so on and so forth. You've all heard about these things. So no, not everyone was killed. And no, not all the giants were killed. They were killed in that area. Very interesting how this all really, you know, you gotta be paying attention to the trickery that goes on. Because that's what it is, trickery. See, he judged them. Let's see if I can go back just a little bit.
Drowned every human being on the planet because they rejected the message of redemption.
Wait a minute. That's a lie, right? Did every human on the planet receive this message? No. That's not why Yahweh did what he did. This man is a liar. This man is a deceiver. It's clear as it could be. That's not why God made the flood. He made the flood because people were corrupt. Our people. Our people had race mixed. The angels had mixed with the daughters of men, etc., etc. This man is a deceiver. And I just want to point these things out little by little. Let's continue.
He proved that he is the judge of all the earth. God judged Egypt for its abuse of the Jewish people, plunging that powerful and rich civilization.
For the Jewish people, he did this. You see, this is deception. And the Christian people in the audience that don't know any better, they've been fed this so often. It's like a stream of lies that they believe it. And what is done in all these sermons is constant reiteration, constantly repeating these lies over and over and feeding them until they become entrenched within the mind of the people that come to see him. Now, if he's preaching to three different full crowds in a day here, he asked where people were coming from, and there were people coming from out of his area to listen to this man speak. You see that? That God destroyed Egypt for the Jews. That's a lie. You know it's a lie, and I know it's a lie. We'll continue. You'll see how all this stuff gets fed. Listen carefully.
Into a poverty that exists to this very moment. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah for their sexual lifestyle. And listen to this clearly. God will have to judge America, or he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. We are no better. One generation of Jewish people died in the wilderness because they refused to enter the promised land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is going to judge America for the 60 million innocent children that have been murdered in the womb of the mother under the banner of pro-choice.
Let me stop right there. I'm sorry. It's not that it's funny. It's that this devil is so slick. The Jewish people didn't make it to the promised land. Well, there are no Jewish people. It was the Jewish people that stopped and tried to stop us Israelite people from getting to the promised land. Right? Edom wouldn't help us on our way. You see, Mr. Hagee knows these things, but he's not going to say anything about it. Don't you find that interesting? It's all the Jewish people that have suffered. As you hear this whole sermon, you begin to say to yourself, well, where am I in this? What does this have to do with me? God loves these Jews and they are the apple of his eye, but does he love me? What am I, just something to help the Jew, like the Jew says, that we're just here to serve them? Yes, it's very, very, very interesting. Let's hear that again, this little part here.
God judged Noah's generation that mocked the message of salvation.
I went back a little too far.
That salvation being the ark. God drowned every human being on the planet because they rejected the message of redemption. He proved that he is the judge of all the earth. God judged Egypt for its abuse of the Jewish people, plunging that powerful and rich civilization into a poverty that exists to this very moment. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah for their sexual lifestyle. And listen to this clearly. God will have to judge America, or he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. We are no better. One generation of Jewish people died in the wilderness.
One generation of Jewish people. Let's continue.
because they refused to enter the promised land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is going to judge America.
Let me just say one thing. You know the Jews have never claimed to be Jacob, don't you? They only claim adherence to Abraham. Abraham wasn't a Jew. And of course, his son Isaac wasn't a Jew either. And neither was Jacob. But according to Mr. Hagee, they were all Jews. And according to Copeland as well. Let's continue.
For the 60 million innocent children that have been murdered in the womb of the mother under the banner of pro-choice, that's going to happen.
Okay, let's stop right there. The Jewish wonderful people have legalized child ritual murder sacrifice in all of our countries. Why they did that was because they've always been involved in that. And that's one of the things that's got them kicked out of our countries in the past. So what they've done is they've learned to legalize and put into law their practices. So funny how Hagee doesn't mention anything about that, that it's child ritual murder sacrifice. And of course, the Jews are the ones that are for Planned Parenthood, aren't they? This, wait till you hear what you're going to hear in this. This is astounding. But let's continue. So, it's Planned Parenthood's fault. It's America's fault. It's not the Jews' fault. He's not going to even tell you the Jews have anything to do with child ritual murder sacrifice. Let's continue.
Proverbs 6:17 says, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Hello, Planned Parenthood.
So, he hates hands that shed innocent blood. Who did Jesus say? This is just astounding. Jesus said to the Pharisaic Jews that they were guilty of all the blood from Abel to Zacharias, whom they slayed in the temple. And of course, I say that, and now they're guilty from that, from Zacharias, until this present moment. They are the ones that are promoting child ritual murder sacrifice, abortion. Mr. Hagee's a slick little devil, boy.
Selling the body parts of infants is barbaric. You don't belong in a civilized society.
Oh, yes, Mr. Hagee, yes.
I call on every member of Congress to defund Planned Parenthood. Take our tax dollars away from them.
But don't defund Israel. Give them more. It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. These people think they're receiving truth. And believe me, for the amount of audience it is, very few people are cheering or even participating. I find that quite interesting. Let's continue.
Listen closely. I want to tell you what's about to happen on planet Earth and how to escape the living hell that these four horses and their riders represent very soon on planet Earth. Read with me Revelation 6, 1 and 2. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, with a voice like thunder, come and see. Are you reading with me, or did I go deaf here? Read with me, verse 2. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Heavenly Father, thank you for every person that's in this building tonight, because we are here by divine appointment for God to show us the future. Because the God that we serve is the God that knows the end from the beginning.
All right. So the people in the audience have been told that they're here listening to Mr. Hagee's words by divine appointment. Don't you find that a little interesting? Now, which divine or which God wanted them to hear this message? Was it the Father in heaven, who really is the only God? Or is it Hades' God? Divine appointment. You see? Little trickery there, right? In other words, he's confirming that whatever's coming out of his mouth, or he's alleging, he's saying that it's this way, that it's coming, being spoken from, right from the Spirit of God, so to speak. Let's continue.
Bless this word in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, praise the Lord. You may be seated.
Just something interesting there, just for the heck of it. And God's people said, praise Baal. Is that what Mr. Hagee is saying really there? I leave that up to you.
What's the word apocalypse mean? Ask 10 Christians and 9 of them will say it means danger, death, and destruction. It means nothing of the kind. The word apocalypse means, it is a Greek word meaning to remove the veil. Say that with me. To remove the veil. To uncover. To make clear. The purpose of the book of Revelation is to remove the veil of the future as to what was going to happen. God is saying through John the Revelator and through the church, I'm the God that knows the end from the beginning, and I'm in total control of kings and kingdoms. And I'm pulling back the veil in the book of Revelation to show you expressly what's going to happen in the future. When you see Russia, the king of the north, and when you see China, the king of the east, and when you see Iran and the Islamic nations, the king of the south, and when you see Europe and America, the king of the west, on the stage of world history at the same time, get ready, get ready, get ready. The Antichrist is coming to produce a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world currency.
Let me stop right there. The Antichrist is coming. Now, this is going to set the premise of all of what I'm going to be telling you in this message. Because he's going to tell you about the Antichrist all the time. And he claims that the Antichrist is a man. Now, the Antichrist. Let's go back just a little bit like that. The Antichrist is coming. And he wants a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world money system. John said way back then that the Antichrist was already in the world, correct? So the Antichrist, in John's definition, certainly wasn't a man, was it? See, I thought of something very interesting. The son of perdition. He talks about the son of perdition. Now, men call other men sons of bitches, right? Excuse the language, right? But a bitch is a female dog. It's really not a swear. But a son of a bitch, right? A son of perdition. A son of God, right? That doesn't mean that the son of perdition is not a plural type of thing. Who are the sons of the devil? The Jews, right? So each of them is a son of perdition, right? I just want you to think about that because I never really thought about that before. I think it's very interesting. But let's continue. So who wants to bring forth a one world government, one world money system, and one world religion? Why, it's the Jews who are the Antichrist. You see my point? Keep that in mind. Because Hagee doesn't want it to be, he says so in this message, that it's not a group of people. And it's not a computer, he says. You'll hear that a little later. It's a man. You think about what I'm saying now. Wait, let's continue.
Listen closely. Revelation is a drama of triumph. Revelation is not a horror story. Revelation is the story of the church of Jesus Christ, the triumphant church. It is the church overcoming death, hell, and the grave. It is the story of the rapture of the church, taking out of this earth into mansions on high.
Let's stop right there. Is it really the triumph of a church? Of course it's not. You know, I had issue with that a long time ago in the Judeo-Christian church where he said we're going to overcome the whole world and all this stuff. No, it talks about in the book of Revelation how we will be, the saints will be overcome. And certainly when Yeshua talks to the churches, some people say it's an angel speaking, but the words are in red. And isn't it interesting that there's nothing about any triumphant church there or anything like that? It's more of a rebuke or some praise and some admonitions, right? We don't see the church. Yes, at a point, the saints overcome. There's no doubt about it. But it's not a church. This is a lie. And then to top it off, he brings in the doctrine of the devil that the church is going to be raptured. Let me just go back just a little bit. Now let's listen.
It is the church overcoming death, hell, and the grave. It is the story of the rapture of the church, taking out of this earth into mansions on high. Secular humanists in Washington and in Europe are destroying civilization. God's not in heaven wringing his hands. He's in heaven in total control. This is the story of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet who are going to be thrown by our God into the fires of hell. Satan is a defeated foe. Satan is a defeated foe. Satan is a defeated foe. You have authority by the word, by the blood, by the name of Jesus Christ. We are the church triumphant. Act like it. Talk like it. Shout like it. The enemy cannot defeat us. Bless his glorious name.
Yes, now that's the rallying of the troops now, because what comes next, we'll see, right? You see, it's funny how God loves the Jews, but we're, you know, he needs to rally the troops to do everything they can for the Jews, you see, and that's what he's doing. Let's continue.
The book of Revelation is the story of God defending the Jewish people from their enemies. He's going to crush every nation that comes against Jerusalem. Right now, around.
Let's stop right there for a second. You see what a bold-faced lie that is? Jerusalem, according to Jesus Christ, is cursed until his return. It's cursed. And so are the Jews. They're a cursed people. They're cursed to be vagabonds and fugitives, wanderers. He's going to destroy all nations for the Jews. I mean, this is ridiculous nonsense. Let's listen again.
Defending the Jewish people from their enemies. He's going to crush every nation that comes against Jerusalem. Right now, Iran is planning the destruction of Israel. They were chanting death to America and death to Iran when our foolish...
See, he misspoke there. He meant death to Israel. But in other words, you see what the ploy is there, that he rallied the troops. Satan is defeated and all the stuff, right? And then he talks about Iran and how Iran is chanting death to America. So in other words, this enemy is against us, so we must do something about it. But more importantly, and he misspoke, they're against Israel. So you need to support the destruction of Iran. You understand how this all, I'm just going to go back one more time on this. Listen carefully now. This is some slick little stuff here.
Iran is planning the destruction of Israel. They were chanting death to America and death to Iran when our foolish government leaders were in Iran putting that silly nuclear deal together. Please understand, there is no chance that Iran is going to keep that treaty. Israel will prevail.
There's no chance that Iran will keep that treaty. Well, rather, I would say to you, the real truth is, there's no chance that America would keep any treaty. Sorry, that's the real way it is. And it's because of the Jewish control in our nation. It's not our people that wouldn't keep their word. It's you-know-who again. Isn't it interesting? Let me just go back just a little and we'll continue.
Please understand, there is no chance that Iran is going to keep that treaty. Israel will prevail. Iran will not kill them. Why? Because he that keepeth his, he keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. Behold, the day is coming, saith the Lord, in the mouth of Zechariah, when I will destroy every nation that lifts its hand against the Jewish people. Are you listening, Iran? Are you listening, Russia? God's going to wipe you out.
Hello. Now, do you see how the government is involved in this particular sermon? And, of course, the Jews. You see that this was during Obama's administration, and now we've heard nothing but we need to go to war with Russia. We need to go to war with Iran, right? You see, he's beating the drums of war like Churchill and the son of Cain, McCain, right? Bomb, 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 Iran, right? Ladies and gentlemen, this is so slick. Let's continue. And, of course, God is going to save Israel. What's he going to do with us, though? Is he going to take care of us? Oh, we're going to be taken out of the way during the rapture. So that's what he's going to do for us, but he's going to save Israel. Israel's everything to the Father in heaven. We're talking about the Jews is Israel when we're dealing with Mr. Hagee. Of course, the Father knows that those people that are in Israel at this point, that it's a farce and that they are the Edomites and Canaanite Jews who are the enemies of Israel, the true Israel, the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Nordic, and Germanic peoples. This is slick stuff. Mr. Hagee studied the Bible just like Tex Mars for years and years and years. I mean, he went to seminary school. He did everything. He's been preaching. He is a supposed great orator. I guess he must be good enough to speak to three audiences on a Sunday morning or whatever. Very interesting, isn't it? Let me just back it up just a wee bit and we'll continue.
Neither slumbers nor sleeps. Behold, the day is coming, saith the Lord, in the mouth of Zechariah, when I will destroy every nation that lifts its hand against the Jewish people. Are you listening, Iran? Are you listening, Russia? God's going to wipe you out because you don't stand with him.
See, if you stand right there, God's going to wipe you out if you don't stand with him. And he stands with the Jewish people. You understand? You seeing what's going on here? You see this? This is how it's done. This is amazing to me. I hope that you're amazed and awake and keeping yourself in the message here and listening to what I am revealing to you. This is slick. Let's continue. See, again, if you don't stand with God, you don't stand with the Jewish people. That's the premise.
In the tribulation, There's going to be 1,000 years of peace when the lion shall lay down with the lamb. When men will beat their swords into plowshares and study war no more. Where the kingdom of God is going to rule the earth with a rod of iron, based upon the principles of God's word. Where the Ten Commandments will be on the walls of schools and universities. They will be revered, not ridiculed. Where according to Revelation 21 and 8, the cowardly, the unbelievable, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral.
The unbelievable?
The sorcerers, that means people involved in the occult. And if you're reading occult books, that's you. If you play with a Ouija board, that's you. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire.
Yes, that's true, Mr. Hagee. All liars, and you are a primary liar. You are a deceiver. And the Father rebuke you. I am not your judge, but I can judge what you're saying. And I know that you're not telling the truth. You're a liar. Let's continue.
That's where all of you are going to be at one time. Who is the rider on the white horse? The rider on the white horse is the Antichrist. He is a man. Say that with me. He is a man.
Did you see the technique? The rider on the horse is the Antichrist, and he is a man. Say that with me, he says. See, he wants to get it within their spirit. He wants them to testify to it and say it. It's not a group of people like the Jews. He's a man. I hope you're understanding this, and I prayed before this message that you would. I hope you're understanding and seeing the technique here. I want you to hear it again for yourself. Okay? Just understand the technique. Say it with me, he says. In other words, get this into your spirit. Get it into your soul. Yes, he, the Antichrist, is a man. It's not a group of people. Oh, no. Listen.
Liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. That's where all of you are going to be at one time. Who is the rider on the white horse? The rider on the...
That's where you're all going to be at one time? I find that a very interesting statement.
The white horse is the Antichrist. He is a man. Say that with me. He is a man. And I say that because I've heard Bible teachers say it's a computer. No, it's not. It's a group of people. No, it's not. Daniel 8:15 says he is a man. He is Satan's demonic Messiah. Daniel 8:24. Some believe that the rider on the white horse is Jesus Christ. I've heard Bible teachers say that. That is absolutely not true. And here's why. The Greek text in Revelation 6 reveals that the crown worn by the rider on the white horse is Stephanus, a crown of victory won by a military conqueror. The Greek word for the crown Jesus wears in Revelation 19 is diadema, getting the word diadem, meaning the crown of glory.
Okay. What I would say about this is, what's very interesting is, these men like to pretend that they actually delve into the Bible and actually go back to the Greek to learn their teachings. But they only do it in convenient places. It seems that they don't do it in important places. Just a little mental note there. You see, that's a trend. When they see us looking back into the Greek for really getting good definitions of what's being said, they have to participate in something like that in some form or fashion to make it look like they're really students of the Bible. But in reality, they don't need any of that. We all know what a diadem is, a crown. But it's interesting, isn't it? That he's using Greek definitions for things that, well, I mean, I guess the green horse is kind of interesting. But why isn't he using it in more important places? That's the question. Let's continue.
Is diadema getting the word diadem, meaning the crown of glory? Jesus' crown of royalty. Jesus Christ is royalty. He is the King of Kings. He is the Prince of Peace. The rider on the white horse in Revelation 6 is the great deceiver. The rider on the white horse in Revelation 19 is the great deliverer. Jesus is his name. Why is the devil's guy on a white horse? Because the devil has been mocking Jesus Christ since Genesis 1 and 1. He's been emulating the things of God from the very beginning.
Okay. The devil is mocking Yahweh and mocking Christ, right? Who the Antichrist is the devil, correct? Well, let me ask you a question. No, it's not correct. It's the offspring of the devil who are the Antichrist. And do they mock Jesus Christ? Ah, Mr. Hagee doesn't mention any of that. He doesn't mention Sarah Silverman or any of these people because these people can do no wrong because he is an agent of Jewry and the government. Why, every Jew that you see are the sons of Satan. The son of Satan's, you see? The son of Satan.
The chief son of Satan. He's going to come promising world peace, and instead, he's going to bathe the world in blood.
Okay, let's stop right there. This Antichrist, which we know are the Jews, have they promised the world peace and bathed the world in blood? Who is guilty of all the bloodshed from Abel to Zacharias? Again, I'm reiterating. And of course, from Zacharias until this very moment. Why, it's the Antichrist Jews. Not he. Right? This is the premise. This is what I'm trying to say to you. This kind of a sermon has been preached for years and years and years. People love to hear about the book of Revelation. They want to hear about the Antichrist. He. They don't want to hear about the Jews being the Antichrist that are already in the world that John spoke of so many years ago. Let's continue.
What son of perdition means, the chief son of Satan. He's going to come promising world peace, and instead, he's going to bathe the world in blood. The rider on the white horse rode through the Garden of Eden, and he deceived Adam and Eve into eating the forbidden fruit.
Mr. Hagee. Now, you love those Jews, the Kabbalistic Jews, and you don't know that Eve was impregnated by an angel in an unholy union and produce an hybrid offspring known as Cain? Mr. Hagee doesn't know who these Pharisaic Jews are. And they ate the fruit, you see. You understand how to see that Mr. Hagee's been studying the Bible for longer than I've been alive. But he doesn't know any of these things. Ladies and gentlemen, who are we kidding? Seriously. And the sheep are sitting there listening to this garbage being fed to them over and over and over and over and over. And they know that the Jews, New York is called the Big Apple, right? The big temptation, the fruit that, it's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Listen again here, ready?
The chief son of Satan. That's what son of perdition means, the chief son of Satan. He's going to come promising world peace, and instead, he's going to bathe the world in blood.
The Antichrist has promised the world peace through the United Nations, correct? But there have been more wars since this promise of peace. You see that the Antichrist has promised us peace and bathed us in the world in blood, correct? They're promising us peace again if we would all just race mix into a brown race. But the most, as I keep pointing out, the most violent places in the whole world are the brown nations. Down in South America. You see, it's not a he that promises us peace, it's a they. And they were already in the world back in John the Revelator's time. Hello, let's wake up, ladies and gentlemen. Let's continue.
The rider on the white horse rode through the Garden of Eden, and he deceived Adam and Eve into eating the forbidden fruit. God's angels with flaming swords drove them out of paradise, and they were cursed. For life, they were cursed. Listen to me. In obedience, they would have had everlasting life in the garden. That was God's plan. But in defiance...
That was not God's plan. You see, these people are deceivers and liars. It's just so plain. You say, what do you mean it wasn't God's plan? You mean God planned on having Adam and Eve stay in the garden forever? No, God allowed, the Father Yahweh allowed us this to happen to us because we were to be tested. If he's going to replace the angels, this time with his own offspring, instead of just creating another group of angels who might rebel against him, they must be tested. Give me people tried by fire. Gold tried by fire. Right? No, God's plan went along just right. You don't think that he could have stopped this tree? You don't think that he put this tree in the midst of the garden and said, don't touch it, don't eat it, don't do anything with it, don't listen to it, stay away from it? But he put it in this as the center attraction in the garden. I mean, let's think about this logically. And it just so happens that all the angels are at a meeting and this angel comes out and deceives Eve. And of course, God just had no idea. This just was one of these big accidents where he didn't know what he was doing again and just wasn't paying attention because he's not very good at paying attention. You see, he really needs the advice of rabbis and things like that because, you know, he loses track once in a while. You know what I mean? Like what he just he wasn't paying attention when this happened to Adam and Eve. You see, God's not capable of paying attention. And, you know, he was just directed and thinking on other things at the time. His plan was for Adam and Eve to stay in the garden forever and ever and eat the free manna. You think about it, ladies and gentlemen. These people are incredible. Let's continue.
Of God's word, they found death and destruction. Listen to me in this audience and those of you watching by television. In obedience to Christ, you will find everlasting life. In disobedience and rebellion against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you will be destroyed and have eternal destruction. There is no hope and no solution without Jesus Christ. The rider on the white horse rode through the camp of the children of Israel in the wilderness and deceived them into believing that the golden calf could deliver them. Forget Moses. He's at the mountain meeting with a God you can't see. Here's a God you can touch. Here's a God you can see. And those that bought that deception, God buried them right there in the desert. God.
Let's stop right there. You see, the mixed multitude that came along with us out of Egypt, which probably had Jews and things like that with them, are the ones that kept complaining and teaching us to how to complain. And they were the ones that encouraged us to make a golden calf. So when he says the devil on his white horse rode through the camp of Israel, you see what I'm trying to say to you? Do you see what this, here's a God you can't see because Moses went up by himself, and here's this golden calf, a God you can see. Somebody encouraged us and got us to disobey God, the Father, Yahweh, and angered him against us, and then we paid the price. Where do we see that happening throughout all of history and today? We see the same mixed multitude, the Jews, they're mixed, encouraging us to make golden calves, encouraging us to eat pig, encouraging us to disobey the Heavenly Father, encouraging us to race mix. And who pays the price? Not the mixed multitude. Doesn't matter what they do. Every plant not planted by my Heavenly Father shall be plucked up. And of course, thrown into the fire, you see. So the Jews, it doesn't matter how much evil they do. The result will be the same. But it does matter how much evil we are encouraged to do and capitulate to. And we will pay the price, as is what happens over and over and over up to this very minute today. I'm not going to say that we have no blame in any of this. I'm just going to say that if the Jews were not with us, a lot less would have taken place. A lot of less violations would have taken place. Oh, yes, we had people always, devils, always among us, encouraging us to be idolaters. Just think about what's being said here. This fellow is a slick deceiver. This is a devil. There's no doubt about it that this thing is full of devils.
God does not put up with idolatry. The rider on the white horse rode into the life of Samson and seduced him into accepting Delilah. He lost his anointing. He lost his power. His eyes were gouged out with a hot iron. He spent the rest of his life grinding corn like an ox while the enemies of Israel mocked him. Why? Because he was deceived. The rider on the white horse rode through. And we are experiencing right now that deception in the United States of America. Our leaders have just signed a nuclear deal with Iran that is a master stroke of deception by Iran.
No, the master stroke of deception is this message you are preaching. See, the rider, the Antichrist, the man Antichrist, he rode through the camp. He did this to Samson. Oh, no, I know that somebody sent Delilah to do this to Samson. You know that as well, don't you? See, it wasn't a man. It was a set of men. And it was the Antichrist, of course. Who else would want to destroy Samson? Samson being a white Israelite man. Being a man of great power. Who would want to find out his secret and cut it off? Of course, his hair, right? As long as he didn't cut his hair, he would have all this power. So who was sent in to destroy this fellow, one of our brothers, and who accomplished this? But she wasn't sent on her own. She did this dirty deed and was sent there to do this. It wasn't any rider on a white horse, Mr. Hagee. And now he's reiterating the treaty with Iran. We need to go to war with Iran because they don't stand with Israel. And the Father in heaven does stand with Israel, meaning the Jews, not us. You understand this whole thing?
It is not going to bring peace. It will only guarantee war. Hello, Congress. I ask you to vote this nuclear deal down. Stop bowing to Iran. Stop bowing to Iran. Stand with Israel. Stand with the people of the United States of America. You represent us. Stand up and speak up.
He's telling Congress to stand with Israel, the Jews. Yes, let's continue.
Our president has reduced our military to pre-Pearl Harbor days. Generals and command staff are now retiring from the military to escape the pathetic leadership of this commander-in-chief. That's happening. San Antonio is a military town. We have 5 military bases. I can tell you that the morale of the U.S. military is at an all-time low because of this president. Young recruits are not signing up for the U.S. military for the first time in our history. Why? Because the young men in America want to serve in a military prepared to fight and defeat the enemies of the United States of America.
He means defeat the enemies of Israel, the Jews. But I believe that the young men and women of our country are starting to realize that the military is not what we think it is, and that it is abusing our people generation after generation after generation, using and abusing and treating them as criminals when they come back, taking their gun rights away, which is a violation, of course, big time violation, mistreating them in the hospitals, injecting them with things. They come back because they're doing things against the will of the Father in heaven, and they come back with mental problems and Agent Orange and on and on and on it goes. I think that people are starting to realize that this military is very lethal, that joining this military, you're not fighting for the freedom of the United States, as this clown is trying to say right now. You're fighting and dying for the Jews. And it is their purpose to destroy the flower of every new generation. That's why war is brought forth over and over, and every generation is denuded by it. A portion of us, a good portion. Also, it's the same thing where, like the mixed multitude that are in America, the Jews, and I'm not talking about blacks, I'm talking about Jews. The mixed multitude. You see, they're encouraging us to go and to kill women and babies and do very horrendous acts around the world to bring the Jews democracy. Ezra Pound says that the definition of a democracy is a country controlled by Jews. Now, I never knew that particular quote before, but I've told you that democracy is not for white people. And we are bringing democracy to the whole world, our military. Believe me, if you do and violate your conscience over and over, you will have mental problems like the Jews do. If you join this military, these militaries are against us. The Navy just did something with the Confederate flag. When these military are doing what they're doing against the Confederate flag, they're doing it against Jacob Israel. The true Israel. Because that flag represents Jacob crossing his arms over Ephraim and Manasseh. Make no mistake. When you see the world going against that flag, you see that that means they're actually going against Jacob Israel. Then it has nothing to do with Confederates or anything like that. It has to do with Jacob Israel. They're bowing their knee to Baal. The whole world is bowing their knee to Baal at this point, ladies and gentlemen. And they're trying to encourage all of us to bow our knees to Baal as well, which we will not do. Just like Nebuchadnezzar forced people to bow to the God of gold, Let's continue.
They do not want to become environmental flower-sniffing individuals. They don't want to stand in line to get the next transgender sex change. Did you know that the government has now voted that anyone in the military that decides he's a woman can get that at your tax expense?
Okay, they don't want to become flowers, you know, hippies, right? Who brought that revolution on in 1969 in the Summer of Love? Why, it was the Jews again. It's another Jewish revolution. Isn't that interesting? And the transgender thing, who promotes transgenderism and all this stuff? Why, it's those Jews again. Mr. Hagee doesn't know that. Oh, sure he doesn't know that. Oh, no, Mr. Hagee, he just doesn't understand those things, you see. You think about what I'm showing you here. The Father, praise be to the Father in heaven, because this is his orchestration. And it looks like we're going to have a two-message thing here. I'm going to finish this today. So we'll give you a double shot of Saxon's Creed radio show today, because I'm going to finish what I started.
The military is not a social laboratory. Its purpose is to fight and defend the people of the United States.
He's laughing while he says this. He's laughing because he knows what a joke of what he's saying. Listen, listen again.
They don't want to stand in line to get the next transgender sex change. Did you know that the government has now voted that anyone in the military that decides he's a woman can get that at your tax expense? The military is not a social laboratory. Its purpose is to fight and defend the people of the United States of America.
Yeah, that's
wake
funny.
Up, Washington.
That's
this
funny.
Weakness is inviting terrorism to America.
Let me stop right there. Speaking of the Antichrist, the Jews, who is inviting terrorism to America? Is it the white people of America? The average citizens like myself and you? You know, if you are a citizen, but I mean, you know, the average people that live here, let's say, the true Americans. Do we want these things? Huh? Who's bringing the terrorists onto our soil to do terrorist acts? When we see Antifa doing terrorist acts, the Jews have just said that when Donald Trump is going against Antifa, that means that's anti-Jewishism, and because the Jews support anti-Jewishism. Excuse me. Yeah, they do that too. But they support Antifa. Antifa is a Jewish organization. It has always been promoted by communist Jews. Not everybody in it is a Jew. But do you understand? Who is promoting terrorist acts on all of the Israelite nation's soil? It's the Jews. The Antichrist Jews. It's not a man. It's the Jews. Because the Antichrist is already with us. Let's continue.
I'm probably going to write a book on this one thought. 3. The Bible reveals 12 attributes of the Antichrist. They're very similar to Hitler. I am a student of history.
One of oh, yes, you are.
Degrees is history.
He's got 3 degrees. Let's say that again.
I'm probably going to write a book on this one thought.
Probably.
3. The Bible reveals 12 attributes of the Antichrist. They're very similar to Hitler. I am a student of history. One of my 3 university degrees is history. The only difference between Hitler and the Antichrist is that Hitler affected Europe. the Antichrist is going to affect every human being on the planet.
Every human being, you see. Notice that evil has always got to be attributed to Hitler. And that this is for the Jews that he's doing this. And this is to be brought in the message. Now, when you think of Hitler, a German woman told me something very interesting, a friend of mine. She said that what Hitler did was steal the identity of the German people. And I can't disagree with that, because when you hear of Hitler, he is the quintessential evil, the most evil man that ever lived, according to the Jews and the world, right? So in other words, because Hitler was supposedly German, which he wasn't, the German people are the most evil people in the world. You see how that identity has been stolen? And of course, when you think of Hitler, you keep hearing how Hitler has to do with the fake fable of the Jews known as the Holocaust. So just hearing the word Hitler brings forth many nuances in the minds of people that have been trained and programmed throughout their lives, which we all have, but some of us are deprogramming, right? Just as when you hear the word white, all kinds of nuances come into your mind because of the media, what they've been pounding into your brain, like white supremacism, white privilege, and all this nonsense. They've even made it so that the white foods are demonized. Milk is not good for you. White bread is not good for you. White rice is not good for you. In other words, it's a demonization of the word white. Make no mistake about it. These techniques are easily seen, and you should understand why these things are happening. Just one word. This is a war of words, ladies and gentlemen. I've been trying to tell you, we can't use terms that the Jews put forth like anti-Jewishism. You know the real term that they use. We must change these things. We must decrypt them, and we must return them to their original meanings. In other words, when you hear white, you of course would also hear racism, wouldn't you? But who are the biggest racists on the planet but the blacks and Jews? You see, the funny thing is they all want to be white. There's no question in my mind that is one of the things that we need to pound on, that the whole world believes in being white. They all want to be us. They all want to replace us. They all want to take our place, but they never can. Let's continue.
One, Hitler came to power through an economic crisis. The Versailles Treaty that ended World War I demanded that Germany pay reparations to America and Europe. It bankrupted Germany. Germany printed money. Like we, the United States right now, are printing money. There was massive inflation, which is what we're going to have in the very near future. There was poverty followed by hunger. Money was then printed on one side because the ink was more valuable than the money. The Antichrist will come to power on the wings of an economic crisis around the world.
Okay. Who's creating an economic crisis around the world right now to bring forth a Jewish-dominated world? It's not a man. It's the Antichrist. And this student of history, Mr. Hagee, and I've never heard anybody else say what I've said, that we know that the Versailles Treaty was written by Jews. Mr. Hagee doesn't know this. And within the Versailles Treaty, the Antichrist Jews promised us peace. They brought forth the United Nations, the League of Nations. It was instituted within. They like to write legislation, and within this treaty, they wrote that kind of legislation. And most people don't even know that. And of course, Mr. Hagee, he has a degree in history, but he doesn't know that either. The Antichrist Jews wrote the Versailles Treaty. It is because of the Antichrist Jews that the Germans starved. It is because of the Weimar Republic, which was the first democracy in Germany. It was only a republic in name only. It was the first democracy. And again, Ezra Pound, a country, a democracy is a country controlled by Jews. So that democracy brought the German people to the point of starving, to the point of losing everything, to losing national pride, to losing weight, to losing everything is really what it comes down to. And that's exactly what democracy is in America to do. It's to make sure that the haves lose everything and that all of it is given to the have-nots, the people known as humanity, human, colored man. Those are the have-nots. Why are they the have-nots? Because they have no covenant with the Heavenly Father. That's why they're the have-nots. But they want to pretend that you can be grafted into this covenant with the Father. And that you can come and steal off the haves, who are the people that actually have the covenant. And you can replace them. And you can pretend you're white. Because that's what the whole world wants to be. They all want to be white. I guarantee you that that's the truth. They all want to be white. I see negresses with blonde hair. Now, think of the ridiculous nonsense of that. Why would that be? Why do they want to be blonde-haired white women? See, they're showing their allegiance that they actually want to be white, that they actually want to emulate the whites, that they want to replace the whites. They want to destroy the whites, and they can be the whites. The Jewesses all color their hair blonde, right? And use contacts and have their noses clipped, etc., etc. But they never are as good as the white women, and they never can be the white women. They can emulate, they can be great chameleons, because the Jews are great chameleons. But they can never really be the original. See, when they say we can replace you, they can replace us by killing us off. But they can never really replace us, because if you replace a false thing with the original, you'll notice that it just doesn't measure up. And these Jewish women don't measure up. They never have and they never will. Let's continue.
Let one small nation in Europe go bankrupt, as you almost see happen to Greece. And the European Union does not bail them out. The panic will spread. There will be a global economic crisis. World leaders will then demand an economic Caesar, and some of them already are. An all-powerful man who will produce a one-world currency, a one-world government. China right now is using their wealth as a weapon of war. Don't you ever forget it. And we are the person they are attacking. 2, the Bible says by peace the Antichrist will destroy many. Daniel 8:25. The Antichrist will make peace treaties he never intends to keep.
Who makes peace treaties they never intend to keep? The Versailles Treaty was made by the Antichrist Jews, not by a man, but by the Antichrist Jews. And they make all sorts of treaties with our country here, with other nations that they don't intend to keep. Like they just made a treaty with the people in Afghanistan, the Taliban. Immediately they broke the treaty. Is that the white men that are doing this breaking of treaties? Or who do you think it is? Mr. T-Rump, who is another wannabe white man? He's a Scottish Jew. The King of Israel. Yeah, the self-proclaimed King of Israel, Mr. T-Rump, who does everything to help Israel and nothing to help America. Let's continue.
Hitler made a peace treaty with England, and he had no intention of keeping it. Prime Minister Chamberlain went to Hitler asking for peace, and he came back to England waving a worthless piece of paper saying, "We have peace in our time." How many of you remember that historically?
That's a lie. Hitler did everything he could to not go to war, and he intended on keeping that. As far as I understand, I mean, I've done a lot of study in this area. It was Churchill in England that did not keep the treaties. They even made a treaty with Poland saying, keep aggravating the Germans until they want to go to war. Keep harming the people in your controlled areas. And if the Germans attack you, we'll take care of you. Did they take care of Poland? No, they didn't. They didn't keep their word. The Germans always kept their word. Who didn't keep the word with the Stalin Treaty with Germany? Why, it was Stalin, a Jew. Yes, Stalin was Jewish. They don't want to tell you that he was Jewish. It's interesting. He was a Freemason and a Jew, just like Churchill and just like FDR. They don't want to tell you that. Think about these things. See, when he says Hitler never intended to keep that treaty, that's a lie. That's a bold-faced lie. This man is a liar. And what did he tell you out of his own mouth is going to happen to liars, according to the scriptures? Huh? Let's continue.
Not 2% of you, and all of you with white hair. Hitler lied. He attacked England, and the battle for Britain was savage. Winston Churchill rallied the British people, and he said, "You ask what is our aim?" And he said, "I can tell you in one word, victory." Did you ever hear that word before? Victory. For without victory, there is no survival. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear me very clearly.
Without victory, there's no survival. He's got a V on his podium. Churchill. Now, the Germans were very merciful towards the English and let them leave. Dunkirk is what I was talking about. The English people and French soldiers were let go. Hitler was very merciful and was trying not to go to war. They forced Germany into the war. So this man is a liar. An absolute liar. And he told you, the reason why he told you he has a degree in history is because you've been taught, and I've been taught, that we should believe experts. And if he has a degree in history, that means, the premise of that means that he is an expert. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, that the degree for history is a false history that is taught in the universities around the world. You see, so the degree is no good, and it doesn't make you an expert, unless it makes you an expert liar in that version of history. It makes you an expert in the version of history that is untrue. We're going to go over a little bit here, ladies and gentlemen, and then I'll do part two today after this. Let's continue. See, in other words, by saying he has a degree in history and that he loves history, when he says these things about Churchill and things about Hitler, he's lying. But you don't have to question him on that because he's an expert in history. He has a degree. I don't have any degree in history, and I know that he's a liar. Let's continue.
This nation is not invincible. If we do not gear up our military, if we do not strengthen our moral position, this nation will go down because we lack the moral courage to stand against the wickedness of our generation. Stand up and speak up for righteousness' sake. This is your generation. Act like it.
The rallying of the troops. Then you listen what comes next.
America has just committed to a nuclear deal that will never be kept because of Hudna.
This is the third time he's reiterating this. This is predictive programming. This is programming completely. Let me just go back for a sec. This is the third time he's talking about this. Why?
America has just committed to a nuclear deal that will never be kept because of Hudna. How many of you know about the Hudna element of the Islamic faith? Let me see a hand. One. Thank God for one. Hudna in the Islamic faith is the right to lie with God's blessing in the advancement of your faith against the infidel. We are infidels according to the Islamic people. That thing they just did in Iran is a Hudna contract. They were lying when they put it together, and they have no intention of keeping it.
Because just like Hitler, he had no intention of keeping it. You understand? See the link up there? You see what he's saying to you? But let me put this out. Who makes contracts with people every day all over the world and never intends to keep them? Mr. Hagee's never heard of the Kol Nidre. Right? Who is the one that keeps making treaties and contracts but declares that it's null and void? In other words, like crossing your fingers behind your back. Why, it's the Jews, the Antichrist Jew. It's not a man. It's the Antichrist Jews. That's who it is. But he says it's Hitler. And he says it's these Iranians. They don't intend to keep their... How does he know they don't intend to keep it? I guarantee you this man is a complete liar. And may the Father rebuke him. May he destroy this creature. Let's continue.
If you think differently, go read the newspaper where their leading general the next day went to Russia and conferred with the Russian generals. What is he conferring about? I'll tell you what they're talking about. They're talking about a joint military effort against Israel. That's what they're talking about.
Now, you see, beating the war drums of Russia now and Iran linked them up, and they're all linked to Hitler, too, because none of these people want to keep their treaties. They just make treaties, and they never intend to keep them, when it's really the Jew, Antichrist Jews that do this very thing, you see. Notice also that when I say this man works for the government, you can be assured that politics is big in this sermon. That building up of military and killing of Israel's enemies, the Jews' enemies, I should really say, is tantamount here. I bet you never thought you'd hear a message like this. I never did. The Father had me strike gold here. And so I will go the extra mile and finish this. Now, this may be a little long message for you, maybe. And so, take a pause. I didn't even do our regular break, because this is important for you to understand what Judeo-Christianity really is. It's not the true version of Christianity. It is a tool used against the true Israel of the Bible. To destroy us, to program us, to encourage us to disobey the Father in heaven, and to encourage us to support the enemies of our Father in heaven, the enemies of our nation, the enemies of our race, etc., etc., etc. Make no mistake what this really is. Let's just finish a little bit. I'm going to go to the half point here almost, so I don't want to go 2 hours on the message, so let me just finish this part here.
How do you know that? Because that's what Ezekiel wrote the 38th chapter of Ezekiel about. That's how close we are. In this treaty, America has thrown Israel under the bus, and our president has paved the way for a nuclear Iran to create a nuclear Holocaust. 3, the Antichrist will cause craft to prosper. Daniel 8:25. Craft to prosper. When Hitler came to power, he said, I'm going to build you an automobile. I'm going to rebuild the structure, and I'm going to bring prosperity. That automobile was the Volkswagen. That structure were the autobahns of Germany. You want to know why we have freeways in this country? Because when Eisenhower was fighting Hitler, he saw how quickly he could move his army from one.
Did you see him laugh there? Did you hear him laugh? Eisenhower is a Falasha Jew. His mother was half black, and he was known as the terrible Swedish Jew. Eisenhower had a true hatred for German people and Germany. You see, this fellow doesn't know this. He's an historian. He's got a degree. And one of his 3 degrees is history. But he doesn't know any of these things. But you and I know about them, don't we? Isn't that interesting? Don't you find that interesting? Let's just go back a little bit now.
They're talking about a joint military effort against Israel. That's what they're talking about. How do you know that? Because that's what Ezekiel wrote the 38th chapter of Ezekiel about. That's how close we are.
Bah.
In this treaty,
bah,
America has thrown Israel under the bus. And our president has paved the way for a nuclear Iran to create a nuclear Holocaust. 3, the Antichrist will cause craft to prosper. Daniel 8:25. Craft to prosper. When Hitler came to power, he said, I'm going to build you an automobile. I'm going to rebuild the structure, and I'm going to bring prosperity. That automobile was the Volkswagen. That structure were the autobahns of Germany. You want to know why we have freeways in this country? Because when Eisenhower was fighting Hitler, he saw how quickly he could move his army from one end of Germany to the other on the autobahns. And he came back, and now we have Interstate 10. Until that, we did not. That's a fact of history. The coming Antichrist on the white horse will promise to end worldwide economic crisis, and he will do it. 4, the Antichrist will understand dark sentences. 8:23.
All right, we're going to stop right there. The Antichrist Jews, do they understand dark sentences? I hope you're laughing right now, because I certainly am, inside and out. They are evil, satanic Jews, Kabbalistic Jews. Now do you see what's really going on in these messages? Kabbalistic Jews. Who's teaching the Kabbalah? Dennis Fetcho, Adam Green, and of course, Blackbird 9. Because Freemasonry is the Kabbalah, according to Albert Pike. That's Antichrist. I just want you to understand that. So, let me just say this. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.